Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ding dong.
Hello, Paul.
Hello. Setting off first run of the month on the heath. A little bit later than normal because we've been away.
Your posh voices remind me of Steve's fantastic work in a dual role.
Yes.
On last week's broadcast, where he performed as both the captain and the steward.
Do you know when we did that? I messaged Steve and said, I really like this. I think we should start doing more little sort of comedy, little sketch inserts like this. And he said, yeah, not all the time.
yeah, with Steve.
But it was good. Yeah,
it was great.
It was good fun, yes.
Wonderful.
But I sense that you carried the major load for that podcast, for that particular episode.
Well, yeah.
What do you reckon?
Maybe. It's possible. So, welcome back. It's funny because we're doing our first run of the month on the heath, but we're heading for the middle of April, really.
Yes, we are.
And yet again, we keep saying it, but it is happening. But it's the battle for spring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Leaves and flowers growing in.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's sunshiny, but it's also cold and windy. And the last couple of days have been absolutely quintessential April showers.
Yes. Well, I got back on Monday afternoon. It's now Wednesday morning. I've been in Spain. You've been travelling away as well.
You got back on Sunday, having gone away on Friday.
Right.
It's an Easter joke for you.
And whereabouts did you go?
Me, I went as soon as the next morning after Brighton Marathon, went to southwest Scotland for 3 days.
Right.
To Cudbury.
Right.
Something like that.
Fun times?
It was great. It's a lovely place. And incredible morning magpie. Oh, people would have seen, anyone who follows me on the socials will know that, let's go this way.
Yep.
All you need to do there is just sit and look at the tide coming in and out.
Right.
It's got like a conservatory with an estuary view.
Beautiful.
And just amazing.
So I'm sensing, understandably, that you're still in marathon recovery mode because you've elected to go on the soft surfaces across here.
Oh, no.
True, false?
Yeah, I certainly didn't pick the soft surfaces for my feet.
All right, okay.
I just thought it was going where we were going, and
right,
it didn't look too wet today.
How have you been since? Obviously, I'm going to get the story of it, but how have you been since?
Well, it was classic. I don't know if other people have this experience, but I always have that sense of how broken are you by the marathon?
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Right.
I was fine. That way now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's quite good because my wife was there, and that's a nice moment. Like in New York, you just finish it and think, right, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
You know, a bit tired, obviously achy.
Yes.
But not sort of broken in.
Not achy, breaky.
Exactly. Whereas other sundry marathons, you get to the end and think, and have like an existential crisis, you know?
Yeah.
So
that was your intention, wasn't it? To sort of run it and feel okay.
Like I had something left, that's right.
Yeah.
And partly based entirely on fitness and scheduling, and partly based on the psychology of being fitter for it and doing it better than last year.
Yeah.
Anyway, this, and we immediately went on holiday.
Right.
And I didn't take my running shoes. I did a little light stretching on the day, but I hardly stretched.
Right.
Just basically went on holiday as a mode of recovery.
Yeah.
And genuinely, by the time I ran again on Friday, I was missing it.
Right.
My body was going, come on, ready to go.
Let's go again. Okay, well, that's good.
And then, to be fair, then that leads to like a next phase. Then I did a gentle run and a park run.
Right.
And after the park run, my feet and legs were like, yeah, yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is, we're not quite back up to spec.
It's interesting that you mention your feet, because it's one thing I never anticipated or even thought about for years, the effects of running loads on your feet.
Yeah.
But it's something you do get a bit more sensitive to, isn't it, as you get
absolutely,
older?
Absolutely, yeah.
Just a kind of sort of bone level slight trauma of running a lot on your feet and
right.
just how to handle it, you know.
And also weird things like, you know, it's very committed to running thing, but I'm always thinking, oh, my knees and feet are hurting
right.
after that run. And I think, well, that's great if your core isn't hurting.
Right.
If you don't feel soul tired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's great that you're externalising the if the trauma of the marathon is happening at the peripheries of your body.
Right.
It's kind of a win.
Yeah.
Is there any logic in that at all? I don't know, but I always take it as a win.
Yeah, it's sort of...
But yeah, my feet are a bit of a state. They're okay.
Sort of feet breakdown. Because you were sort of nursing the possibility of injury on your way into it.
Yeah, well, basically...
As far as I can remember.
Yeah, I've got like what I'm assuming is a kind of bursitis in my left foot.
Right.
And that hasn't got any better.
Right.
And it's unlikely to the amount of running I'm doing. But it's... It's not freaking me out anymore because I've
right.
done a marathon on it. It was fine.
Yeah.
And now I've got orthopedic sliders for day wear.
Okay.
And when I'm wearing running shoes, it's not a problem. So all I need is orthopedic fashion shoes when I'm out of the house and doing gigs.
And you're full orthopedic.
And my foot can be damaged and in pain all the time.
Yeah.
Just completely patch it up.
Embrace the orthopedic lifestyle.
Thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. They'll start calling me ortho.
Yeah.
King Ortho.
Welcome on stage, Ortho Deering.
Hey, look at his shoes. What's happening down there? Good evening, everyone.
You know what it's
any
like when you
Orthos
can barely there? Walk.
Hey, how are your feet? I'm going to get a picture of that Cormorant drying his wings off on the pond here. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's kind of evil.
Mm.
In a good way. And then the green hill sward behind. Gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful.
Nice chance to stop for a minute as well. And now I've got a bit of... So that's my left foot.
Right. Talk me through the... Talk me around the body.
Yeah. Well, it's only one other, but it's on my right foot.
Right.
Behind a developing... Yeah, I've got a bit of a callus on the right side of my foot. And after the marathon, behind it, a little something which I'm assuming is a blister.
Right.
But being as I'm not very limber... I can't really see it. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Might be a verruca.
Right.
I'm going to go to the foot doctor, but
yeah.
probably not till after I've done all these runs.
Go to the doctor.
But it's both very peripheral, kind of classic. Yeah, yeah, no problem. Like having a black toenail, you know what I mean?
But your feet are weird because you're always on them, though, aren't you? That's the thing about
yeah, that's right.
running.
They don't get a break.
Yeah.
After, in the first few days after the marathon, or specifically when I first ran, my left knee felt a bit spongy, but nothing specific, and it doesn't anymore.
Right.
It was just having a little bit of a kind of, oh, really?
Yeah.
But nothing twangy, nothing worrying. But enough about me and my marathons. We need to hear about some of your running.
Yeah, well, I've actually
been doing... Because you've been running all around the world. You've been around the world like Lisa Stansfield.
I've been Australia, New Zealand, but... I did all my running there on treadmills, actually.
Yeah. The treader.
Just because...
Jump up on the treader.
Just because...
Give it a couple of K's in and get your clicks in on the treader, mate. Just eating... Where's Paul? He's eating shrimps on the treader.
On the treader, mate.
Tonko. He's on the treader.
treadmill Tonko.
We're Tonko.
Because...
With apologies to the people of Australia.
Because there was... there's just loads of travelling and whatever. It just felt like the best place to go to guarantee a nice little run.
Yeah, so and also, that. Obviously, running in Australia, a constant risk of death from shark, jellyfish.
Of course.
Snake or bear. Don't be ridiculous, they don't have bears.
It was... did you see the Italian trail runner who got savaged to death by a bear in northern Italy?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that was I saw that the last couple of days. Sorry, brief, tragic tangent.
Selfish perspective on that. Do they have bears in the Brecon Beacons?
I think they've just released some bears into the Brecon Beacons, actually, as a sort of eco-experiment. Yeah.
Taking it back into the wild. A little bit furry.
There'll be a fella come on with orthopedics.
Look up for the fella with the giant shoes.
Look at this, I'm talking about the hello, dog. Hello, mate. Hello, mate.
Oh, no.
Hello, mate. You're a lovely dog, aren't you? You're a lovely, friendly dog.
Yeah, didn't bark or anything.
You're a lovely, friendly dog.
Sorry, mate. Sorry to be scared. Was that the owner of that dog?
Yeah, not a word from
her. Why did she look at us like, well, right, not a word from us. Maybe we're ghosts.
Yeah.
Maybe we died and we're haunting.
Looked through
place.
Us like we were somehow... at fault, yes. For being perfectly nice to a dog as she jumped up at you.
Yeah, that's right.
How bizarre.
Some kind of calibration. What we need to do is to make the dog just maybe 8% less friendly.
Yeah.
The owner. Just give that friendliness.
No, you're right. You're
all
right.
All we're talking about is eye contact. Acknowledgement of existence.
Just crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Angry person.
So you're on treadmill. Yes, you're on a treadmill.
Every other day on the treadmill.
In the Antipode.
But consistently every other day in the treadmill.
Nice.
Cranking up the tempo on the treadmill.
So basically, you run for a given amount of time.
Cranking up the incline.
And you just push the incline as you go.
Incline, tempo, crank, crank, crank. Between 25 and sort of 40 minutes.
See, the advantage you have there is I kind of can't bear to think about the numbers and the buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't bother you.
Yeah, but I still get very bored on the treadmill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I find it really difficult. But I enjoy it. I can find myself, I don't know, just getting a bit fitter on it. And also because it's constant footfall. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
There's no adjustment. You can push it. So I enjoy that.
And well, then, exactly. It's kind of like a... on the one hand you're pushing it, on the other hand it's like a safe space, do you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
what you're saying, so you do know what I mean.
And it's nice and... So that was good fun. And the gigs were great. I mean,
huge, thousands of people?
Yeah, between... The smallest gig was 6,000 and the biggest was 12,500.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So...
Is there much of a notable
pretty
difference
big,
between those sizes?
Yeah, kind of. You kind of... With the 12,500... It's like you...
You have to do your first album. Hello! Splang!
You kind of... There's an extra half second pause as you wait for the laugh to sort of travel around the back of the arena.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not massive. People say, oh, do you work much slower? You don't really. It's just a half
just
second.
Just a feel for it.
Yeah, just a half second.
And in all those gigs, do you have screens behind you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
And you learn to... I actually had a bit of a breakthrough, actually, yeah, in ooh, terms of...
Sorry,
mate. More dogs.
Yeah, and I ended
I had
up,
a bit of a
rather
break.
Than getting near a dog, I elbowed Paul in the gut. Safest, I think.
Yeah.
Safest to just do violence.
Ortho Deering, elbow, treado, tonk in the gut on
my
head.
My shoes are so massive.
Yeah, I had a bit of a breakthrough in terms of relaxation, actually. I learned some...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I've done loads of arena gigs. Very lucky to be able to do so.
Yeah.
And when I started doing it, I found them incredibly scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as a comedian, as an actual comedian, sooner or later, your subconscious can't help but treat them as normal.
Yes, yeah, you just start to...
The nervousness has got to slip away.
Hiya. You just start to relax.
Yeah.
And I've and also realise you can't win... A room full of 12,000 people with energy.
Yeah, I know.
You can't win them. They have to come to you.
Yeah.
And the screens are there to help that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just learned to really relax and, like Bisto gravy, let the flavour run out. And it worked a treat. I really
Bisto.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bisto, Treado, Tonko?
That's British, is it, Bisto? That's a little bit inexplicable.
Do you know that woman who said hello to me?
Yes.
Who is she?
Lindsay Tash.
Right. She used to work for...
She's always in Edinburgh.
Right.
She does a number of different things.
Right.
Yeah.
because I keep pumping into her.
Yeah, she must live near.
Yes, she does, yeah.
But I know her from the Edinburgh Festival.
Yes.
And comedy, but she's...
Yes, comedy, comedy. So, yeah, so that was a big... That was a really big sort of mental breakthrough, actually.
Yeah, brilliant.
Which was great. So I no longer have to get stressed about those gigs.
And also, it's the question is, like you say, that is something, because it's not doing the big gigs. It's normalising doing the big
gigs. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It ties in with the thing I often come back to, the whole Steve Martin thing. One amazing gig is accessible, you know. Not everyone can have an amazing gig, but having one amazing gig is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the challenge of being a comedian is having all good gigs.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You're having all really, really good gigs, yeah.
Arena gigs into
a good
all
phase.
Good gigs. So
yeah.
It's the same as when I'd never done the Comedy Store for a long time. And I was quite established and stuff. And I'd been there and I'd done charity gigs and stuff. And I thought, oh, yeah, I know the Comedy Store. I'm a jobbing comedian. I live in London Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And then, but for whatever reason, actually getting booked there for a weekend.
It becomes a thing.
Didn't
it?
Happen. And,
right.
And I was saying to myself, it doesn't matter. It's just another gig. And then when I did it, of course, it's 3 days, but also I think probably five gigs, you know.
Yeah.
Thursday show, two shows on the Friday, two shows on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And I just remember hitting the stage on the Saturday and thinking, no, this is different.
This is different, yeah.
I feel like I live here now.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Sun just coming out just as we...
Beautiful, yeah.
...come up past Kenwood. It's glowing, isn't it?
Beautiful. Hey. Hiya, mate. He feels familiar, but I'm not sure whether...
Yeah.
He looks like an ultra guy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Looks like a guy I bumped into in the park run at Hackney.
Oh, yeah. I know.
What a beautiful day today.
Hey, talking of ultra guys, I remember...
Absolutely
glorious. Let us celebrate the incredible achievement of... Friend of the show, Liam McIntyre.
Yes.
What
second in the South Downs 50.
Yeah.
At the weekend.
He ran... it's his first time he's run 50 miles.
Yeah.
In the South Downs, as you say, came second.
Yes.
Did it in... What was he running, like 8 minute miles?
Yeah, I mean...
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was enormous. He's an incredible...
Yeah, the guy's an incredible runner. Well
and,
done.
And so easy. I mean, I was going to say...
Very gentle.
I was going to suggest that there's juxtaposition there, but it's that sense of the truly Jedi runners.
Yes.
A very calm, chilled out individuals. There's no rah about...
Yeah, no, absolutely not. No.
Anyway, congratulations.
No, he's a...
And, well, and some
well
other...
Well done. And we will get him in. We'll have to get him in.
Yeah, we need to talk again.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot of great PBs coming in. We haven't got him with us today, but also, he's about to be Manchester. And that's a fast course. So
and
you never know. We might be picking up some more.
And a shout to...
Weekend.
Camille.
Heron, oh,
yes,
yeah.
For her 48-hour world record run.
Which was... Tree.
Yeah.
It's a giant magnolia.
I mean, she's just...
Well, she's like...
She's like, yeah.
Oh, the difference, she's international level. But her and Liam, they're like...
Yeah, yeah.
Camille Heron.
She's exceptional.
And also, she's got that thing. She's so easygoing about it. Over time, you start to realise. She put that thing saying, yeah, we did have to artificially re-water my eyes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, my eye popped out at the 80K mark and we just like... I kept on running to the next...
And of course, she runs a mile every day.
Yeah.
So people are saying, have you started running again yet? She's like, well, no, not really. Although, I run 1 or 2 miles every
day. Yes, yeah.
Every day, ever.
Yes.
Imagine getting up the next day.
Yeah.
Finishing running 270 miles at midnight and getting up at 10 and thinking, I better pop out.
No, she's... She's an incredible creature.
Yeah. We could just spend all day kind of... The way to describe...
About
I just always going to keep messaging with Camille. Particularly as she's so nice that you could say, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like what we really need to be is like Wayne and Garth in front of her.
Yes.
Just praising.
Genuflect.
We're not worthy!
Yeah.
We're not worthy!
Yeah, she's... She's great.
So...
Inspiring to see all this great running going on.
Yeah. So, you're on treadmills.
Yeah.
And then, coming home to the arenas.
And then...
But then you did some running outside?
Yeah, and then I went to... near Malaga. My wife's dad's got a couple of little cottages in the sort of mountains off Malaga.
Yeah.
It's quite sort of barren and beautiful.
Where's Malaga? Is that Spanish coast or is it an island?
It's... I don't know.
Neither do I.
I just went there.
Nice.
But I didn't. It's about an hour from Seville.
Right.
In some direction.
So I was right about
that's
Spain.
That's about as far as I know. It's in Spain.
Spain. When you went from Seville to there, did you go over water?
No. But we didn't go to Seville. We just landed in the station and then got
and
a lift.
And when you were in Malaga, were you by the sea?
We were about an hour and 20 from the coast.
Right.
which we went there for a day, but we spent most of the time, I spent a lot of time watching DVDs actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was so hot. Yeah. But every morning I went for a run, and it was a lovely 5 mile, extremely hilly loop.
Yeah.
Which was very reminiscent of those runs we used to do in Cyprus.
I was going to say, Cyprus is my frame of reference to this, to be kind of in a cottage away from the town.
Yeah.
Get out in the morning and run up. Oh,
yeah.
That's evocative.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was
very
well timed for me when we used to do that sort of twice a year.
Yes.
And I was just finding myself as a runner, really.
Right.
I think that was the first place where I realised I was just amazed that I could run hills.
Yeah.
Because you used to come out the front door and run to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Do you think we could run back to the calf and then run back?
Yeah.
Do you think that would be crazy?
No, it was so lovely up there.
Just so I could go to...
And also we'd get a bit more mileage in.
I'm trying
I'll tell you what, though. Let's do a little loop we don't normally do, just so we see something different. It's not far. Come on. Hard left. It'll just go down the other side.
Oh, okay.
You won't regret it. He might regret it. Or just go left here. That's the best way.
Yeah,
then we get a bit quicker and see something new. We're going somewhere we don't go, guys. Very exciting.
We've never been here before. Yeah, this is nice.
Across the grassy sward.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm considering.
So how many times did you do that run?
You want mate?
How many times did you do that?
I did it five times.
Yeah.
So it's nice, just every morning.
Yeah.
Very, very, I was going to say, extremely hilly, like sort of crazily hilly.
Yeah.
So
a strange little corollary to getting on treadmills and working the incline.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got that kind of
unavoidably
good workout to it.
Yeah, it was really nice, yeah.
Also, just as long as you didn't have a corollary while you were out there.
No, it was it was lovely.
Cool, now you're back.
And now I'm back here, and I'm gonna do Race to the Stones.
Very good. I like the way there was a circle there, but then you ideated, didn't you? He's going to do it, guys.
I'm doing Race to the Stones. Yeah.
Great.
I went not in a kind of last year I messed up way. This year I'm going to get it right way, but sort of in a little bit like that.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to I just want some relationship with that.
Yeah. I want to get in shape so that I can experience the event fully.
Well, it's almost exactly what we're talking, mate. 3 months from now.
Yeah.
So
there's time for a good training block.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, fairly good stage anyway. And I just want to get into that stage of like running as transport.
Yeah.
Just running to like today. I'm going to run home, for instance, from this.
Yeah.
Just getting into
get
that sort
mileage.
Of. Yeah, yeah. Getting into mileage without chasing the mileage. Just time on my feet, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Economically running. And running in a way that doesn't stress my body too much.
Oh, God.
We're just enjoying it.
I did a little, sorry for the interruption, but I did a little bank bend. I thought, I'll go across that way. Oh, you're on the wrong side of the fence.
All
there.
Right, okay.
And I whipped up the bank on the other side of Paul, and then, of course, as I hit it, parkour style, pretty slippy.
Pretty slippy. We got through. We got through.
Heading back up to the wood.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so... just going to initially just start running every other day, but proper sort of distances.
Yeah.
And then sticking a few back-to-backs.
Back-to-back before the event. On terrain, I would say.
Yeah, before the event.
Exactly. It's like I was saying to someone the other day, this guy came up to me after my gig, who's doing the London Marathon.
Yeah.
I think he is completely ready and his attitude's really good, but it was a really interesting conversation because he's so... You know, just didn't speak marathon.
Right.
You know, he's a guy who can run. He's had a bit of an injury. He's come back. He's done the training. He's got a realistic idea of the magnitude of the task.
Right.
But he doesn't know what it is or what it's going to be like. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's very hard to describe, but it just brought me back to what I find more and more, I suppose, post-Race of Stones, but also just after Brighton Whoop. Is to absolutely minimise your unknowns.
Yeah.
Just to get as close to a map of what the hell's going to happen right. as you can, all the while realising that that is just creating space for surprise.
Right.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, totes. I mean, a lot of it is just, it's that and also just basically getting really fit.
Yeah.
Getting as fit as you can. You know, time on your feet.
Yeah.
Getting your body used to.
Wonderful.
You know, 2-3 hour runs.
Love that stuff.
You know.
As you know.
Yeah. As opposed to last time, barely trained, did one 25 mile run with some potatoes, rocked up on the day.
Yes. Also quite often doing things like me saying, "Well, try this malt loaf," and you're going, "Why?"
Yeah. Yeah, just sorting out nutrition.
I bought a cap.
Yeah.
But I think that, on the other hand, the really key fundamental thing with it that you've already changed is not limping in. You know, you just said, "I'm going to do it."
Yeah.
And that's fundamental. That's on the hard
drive. Yes, of course, absolutely.
You know, there was a sense that you might not.
I was toying with it a bit last year.
Yeah, even when you were doing it. You know?
Yeah.
Like Patrick, I was really worried about Patrick, who did great, by the way.
Right.
Who's doing like me is doing Brighton and London. I was saying, "What's the training run? I might run 22. I might run 26." And I thought, in that space of doubt,
yeah.
There's so much scope for it going wrong.
Absolutely.
Which it totally didn't.
Yeah.
Well done, Patrick. Running.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Sorry, my son's just messaged to say, "Morning, where is everyone?" Which is valid. We maybe should have left a
classic
note.
Classic teen message. Yeah.
I can't get rid of that. Will you do Race the Stones as the weekender?
Yes, I will do.
Excellent.
Yes.
Oh no, sorry.
That's
mate.
So cruel.
Sorry. That didn't go well. Sorry.
Trying to help.
I kicked it back and it went too far. I'm sorry. More exercise for him. Thanks to that dad for making a positive out of my thoughtless intervention.
Yeah, an innocent child there kicked a football in the direction of Rob, who promptly kicked it down a hill.
Yeah. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Oh, the sun just went in. I want to be you in front of the house. Where is he? Come into shot. Tonk's inside him behind me. Where Tonk? Yeah, I think that's excellent.
So running is sort of nice and slow. Yeah, just as we've been doing, really. But I've just, absolutely. For some reason, I've just clicked in the last
just
couple of months.
Feeling it.
Bit, no
well,
injuries,
of
a bit of consistency.
And also a sense that's such a summer run. Spring coming, you know. Makes
you
want something from the world.
And you've got the marathon coming up in the Beacons.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I will say, I said it before and you've politely brushed it away. But once you've done that, Race of Stones, have a think about the Yorkshire Marathon in October?
Yeah.
It's the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's in Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah. Let me think. Let me see how it goes.
Yorko. Yorko, Treddo, Tonko.
So, yeah, the marathon sort of brings up notions of time and stuff for me. I don't know. I find it hard to perceive the marathon as anything other than a race.
Yeah, and this is why you should park it now and then maybe you've done races. So it might change. Yeah.
Should we go over there? Should we do a little...
Whoa, it's constant change. It's here to stay. You know, the only thing is we've just been there and it was quite muddy.
All right, okay.
We'll just get back to that place where we had a bit of trouble. And we're so close to where we were.
It might change.
Dismiss this plan. Well, you know, that's interesting for me because... I was very pleased with my, achieving what I attempted.
Yeah.
What I set out to do in Brighton.
Yeah.
Very satisfying. With all kinds of weird things like coming up on London now, trying to absolutely crystallise what my take is, you know?
Yeah.
How am I going to do it? What do I want from it? And how am I going to achieve that? Just to really clarify.
Right.
And because I did that with Brighton. And the weird thing about it was... the recognition that the only time I'd ever successfully run marathons at that kind of pace
was when
we were recording.
Yeah.
So then I realised I had to embrace the podcast record marathon.
Yeah.
Which is so surreal. I mean,
yes.
No one else listening can go, oh yeah, it's like when I did that podcast marathon. Yeah, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But it worked an absolute treat.
Good.
But of course I've done that now.
Yeah.
So the realisation, the shaping, the planning for London has to be a new one for London.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that.
Tell me about Brighton then. We haven't really done the Brighton.
Well,
highlights to Brighton. I know you do the podcast about it.
Yeah, so I'll try and keep it simple and non-repetitive because everyone was there with me.
And that
was wonderful.
Yeah.
And that was basically it. The Brighton Marathon is, the course is slightly different. They have added a mile. It's really brilliantly done, really. They're trying to make the really challenging turn back at the end, the Shoreham turn back.
Right.
They've made it much shorter.
Yeah.
By just adding in a bit here and there. Sometimes it's quite a lot, sometimes it's less, you know?
Right.
Like, it goes around a couple of squares it didn't go around before.
Yeah.
So you're only picking up, like, I don't know, a fifth or a quarter of a mile there. But it all adds up.
Yeah.
And it's a nice route. But the funny thing about it, doing it twice, is how yin and yang it all is, because it's exactly the same distance in exactly the same place.
Right.
So how much easier can it be?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's that realisation that it's kind of easier and not easier at the same time. It seems like muddle-headed marathon talk, but it felt very clear to me, you know. Key moment for me was getting to the moment where you peel off the main drag and go into all the leisure stuff around Hove Lawns.
Right.
Last year, that was at the 20-mile mark.
Yeah.
And I knew then that I was getting pretty blimmin' tired.
Right.
And this year, I knew I was... when I got there, it was 23 miles.
Right.
You're a park run away from the end. And
yes.
And I knew that I could do it. I knew I was doing okay.
Right.
But equally... It's not like it's easier.
Yeah.
It's just really, really hard in a different way. And that's that sense of balance, that sense of ultimately, no matter if you're fitty or less fit,
it's hard.
It's this route, it's that route.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's still the same challenge being completed by the same person.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know.
It's a tough old. It's a tough distance.
It was a lovely course. It was so full of lovely people, the support, the other runners, and I felt very engaged with everyone because I was running a bit slower, you know.
Yes, it does help, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
and also wasn't wearing a big rob on my top, but I was wearing the microphone.
Yes.
So a lot of people were aware of what I was doing, and it kind of brings people in. And of course you get that lovely sliding scale on the marathon of people you don't know, you know, but don't know very well, people you just met, total strangers, people you...
There's a kin...
Life partners.
There's a kinship.
You know, let's go right.
Yeah, there's a kinship.
So, you know, seeing everyone from Patrick and... I don't know the guy's name, I can't remember, who I saw on the turn back, and literally he we were just sort of recognising each other vaguely, and we were like 4 miles apart in the tiredest bit of the race. So our greeting was like this.
But
it was wonderful. And then I saw Angela Barnes and Beck. Yes. Jared, of course, I was running in memory of Phil.
Yeah, of
Jared.
Course. Yeah.
And they were like up there in the sunshine. It was really
nice. Yeah, that's
I had a moment. It was all about the podcast.
Yeah.
So I set off podcasting, which helped me set a pace. And then Morning Magpies, I basically maintained my pace was incredibly steady.
Yeah.
And I knew it, really. Yeah. Although I was worried about it. Basically, once I've set off and set that, then
study 8:50s, 8:59.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just around 9, but on the good side of 9.
Yeah.
And just knowing it, you know, knowing, thinking, oh yeah, maintain it, and thinking, yeah, but if I forget about it for 2 miles, I'll still have been doing it.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's how I roll.
Yeah, yeah, that's how, yeah.
And so that was great. And I recorded for about half an hour, talking to you, getting back into town. We're enjoying the vibe and just warming up and settling in, you know?
Yeah.
And then I listened to my Running Chats radio hour, which the playlist, when it hasn't got me on it, is a 50-minute playlist. So I listened to that, which I'd devised as an inspiring Brighton Marathon playlist.
And it worked.
So that was great.
Yeah.
And included, it had like, again, it had sadness in it, you know, had a little think about, actually, let's take a tangent here, because as well as talking about thinking about Phil.
Yeah, there's another.
I was thinking about Gareth Richards,
who
at that time.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, we were very worried that he might not make it, but he was in hospital then. But
yeah, Gareth Richards was a very kind man and a funny comic. He was co-hosted with Frank Skinner for a while, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. And Frank gave him credit for like giving heart to that whole broadcast, which is because that's what Gareth was like. He had a fantastic, really gentle, but really left field energy. It made him an excellent, slightly odd comedian. But also just a really lovely guy. He was that guy, kind of guy who, on the one hand, was laughing at everything all the time, but on the other hand, not in a mean way.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and he had a crush on the M25 coming back from a gig.
Yes.
And was in a coma, and people thought, this is very, very serious. And it was, and he passed away.
Yeah.
He was tough. It was one of those things where you probably gigged with him more than me. I gigged with him about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
I did some gigs with him, some of the comedian and Carol's gigs. He was Christian.
Yes.
And so we talked about that, and just immediately bonded. He's just a lovely, just one of those guys.
Yeah, and a very, he's just the perfect blend of being a gentle, easygoing guy, but also really interesting.
Yeah.
No one like him.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to oversimplify, but it is a lot like Phil because they're such nice, easygoing guys. You really felt close to them, and they're gone so soon.
Yeah.
You think, part of you was just thinking, yeah, well, at some later point, we're really going to catch up and talk more. And you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And that's what it's like. Another pair of magpies. One of the magpies, this kind of family we have of comedians you see for a bit every now and again. It really ties in with the kind of personalities we have.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful the way you can walk into a room and see someone for the first time in 2 years.
And get on really,
and go
really
straight
well
into talking to either. To the same kind of stuff we crave, the stuff we want on here. So it's either high-level wisdom and observation or just high-level silliness.
Just goofiness, yeah.
And Gareth was a prime example of someone who would meet you anywhere at any time on both those levels.
No, he really was. And he was also a thing that made a lot of comics relate to it was, of course, the fact it was a car crash.
Yeah.
And comics spend...
Could have been anyone.
Comics spend an awful lot of time driving late night, and you know it's dangerous.
Yeah,
it is dangerous, and he was obviously in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
I think he was doing a bit of teaching as well, wasn't he, Gareth? So maybe who knows? Maybe he was tired from 2 jobs. I mean, we don't know, but
yeah, or maybe it was very, very happened in the accident. But
it's difficult. It's dangerous. Yeah.
So, RIP Phil. This episode is dedicated to Gareth Richards, and we'll always think of him. It's really one of those ones where, like you say, I didn't know him that well, but honestly,
yeah,
I feel...
You just... It was so...
I keep remembering it. And like you do, you wake up in the morning and think, oh, another day. Oh, Gareth's gone.
He was so good when you saw him in the dressing room, yeah. Yeah, he was...
And funny memories. That's, again, it seems like an accident, but it comes with personality, doesn't it? Angela Barnes was saying about the time of me, her and him went to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
He was really ill. He had a terrible cold. And she was being a big quizzer. She was helping me get ready for Mastermind.
Right.
And then we went to the ferry terminal and the ferry didn't go.
Right.
And just this whole adventure.
Yeah.
All kinds of shenanigans and sillinesses. But we also said, well, let's go to the pub. And we went to this pub by the dock on the Isle of Wight. And you would think that that would be, you know, a pub that would be quite welcoming for travellers.
Nope.
No. That's the closest experience you'll ever have to the film, the, you know, Terminator in the biker
in
bar cliche.
Yeah.
We kind of, yeah, exactly. We walked in and it was like, I don't think the jukebox went, but it might as well have done. It's just brightly, brightly lit. And everyone's like six people around a pool table going, and we went in.
Yeah.
They just, not a word.
How strange.
And we went to the bar and they watched us and were like, three soft drinks, please. And yeah, just the kind of thing that happened when you were at Gareth.
Yes.
Another time me and him did an Edinburgh preview to a fantastically small number of people.
Yeah.
Just at the time when you've got a huge, kind of wobbly, delicate hour of half-baked ideas.
Yeah.
And there was about a dozen people in this art centre. He was, again, it's just the absolute ridiculousness of the situation was completely pointed up by Gareth. You know what I mean?
Yes,
he was even as he was saying, oh, this is going to be terrible. My show's going to be a disaster. He's just chuckling away at the whole concept.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, bless him.
He carried with him a nice sense of the absurd.
Terrible news.
Yeah.
Really awful.
So, it's funny, I was chatting to Sean Walsh yesterday because he gave me a shout because he's in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Having quite a tricky time at the festivals. I think a few people are.
Right.
And
numbers, attitudes?
Numbers, just attitudes, crowds, just a bit, I don't know, just a bit hard work.
Yeah.
And it's that absurdity of like, he's just had a kid. Everything's going really well in the UK. He's travelled however many thousand miles to make no money for a month and struggle in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's just those things that you do, you know.
It's a ridiculous job.
Yeah.
But these are the prices we pay to not do a job that isn't ridiculous.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, I was thinking about this stuff,
the mud on the far end,
listening to the music I'd chosen, and then I recorded the links for that from Runchats Radio within the marathon.
Right.
And then I went out to the turn back at Ovingdean Morning Magpie, which is the first, actually the second long hairpin.
Yeah.
Actually, just thinking about it now, I remember if the bike marathon feels difficult, the hairpins feel very challenging, so you've got to get up and back. But of course, like in any park run, hairpins are such a wonderful time to spend time with the people going the opposite direction, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And it's great in Brighton, the support, when you get up on top of the cliffs there. You're right out of town, you're in the country, but there's good people and bands and things, you know, waiting on the bumps to cheer you on.
Nice.
I was just actually talking quite seriously about this stuff on the other podcast, and there was a guy, I was disturbed by a guy playing like rock and roll guitar.
Okay.
On the sidelines going, I'm like, so we think seriously about giving it Chuck Berry vibes.
Funny.
So that was great. And then I dug in and started to feel it. I had a malt loaf.
Yeah.
Went down through the halfway point. Slight change of route. When it got back to the front, it went down to the front where it used to finish.
Right.
Because it doesn't finish there. They could run in that way.
Yeah.
So basically by the beach instead of up on the road.
Right.
Very straightforward. And as I passed the 50-mile mark, I was sort of assessing my position.
Yeah.
And I started thinking how much further I've got to go. And I was like, oh, don't think about that.
Whew. Yeah.
But I just remember thinking,
that's a tough stage, isn't it?
Yeah, because you've got a long way to go, right?
Yeah.
And it's always that time. That's the other thing. Having done a bunch of marathons, I was kind of rifling through the Rolodex of previous marathons to have a better perspective on what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, oh no, 50 miles, that's really hard. It's like, yeah, you know this from London.
But
that's
you've
okay.
been here before, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get out to Shore Hill. Oh no, last 2 miles of Brighton is really hard. Oh, last 2 miles in York, you're in town, you're nearly there,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Just various ways of tricking yourself into thinking positively. But yeah, fundamentally, I thought, wow, I'm tired, this is going to be hard. And then the absolute one thought, if one thought sums up that Brighton Marathon, was at 15 and 23 miles, I just thought the same thing. I just got to 23 and thought, yeah, hard, tired.
Yeah.
But still, that's 8 miles ago, so I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah. You're very bullish. You've got that strength, haven't you?
Yeah. And one last thing that I don't think I knew and hasn't been on either of the podcasts so far is once I'd seen my lovely wife and recorded the bit, I thought I'd record in the middle.
Right.
I saved it as like a delayed gratification. I got through the middle, I saw my wife,
yeah.
and then recorded the middle bit at around 70 miles. After I'd done that, I thought, what are you going to do next? I just put my music back on, and I'm listening to a random playlist, but it's a playlist made of all the songs. Ow, I just trod on the rock with my bursitis foot. It's my playlist of all the songs I've played on my radio hour and all the songs in my book. So it's a safe space because I chose every last one of them.
Nice, yeah.
But it's still random, right? Because there's blooming loads.
Yeah.
Anyway, that hour, so starting from, I hadn't quite got to 18 miles and I saw the 22 mile marker in the opposite direction. And I had this slight terror of the long out and back in Hove. And I put music on, and honestly, the songs that played, they were so good. I was listening back, and it's this week's. I lifted the whole thing and shared it for this week's Running Tracks Radio Hour.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was saying, it's no wonder I didn't flag.
Yeah.
Because that's just incredible.
Great.
When you get into that point around 19, where young people who went off a bit, you know, who was suddenly fast, feeling it by taking a moment. And I wanted to say to these guys, it's a hill.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Just hang in there.
Yeah.
But if the blooming Rage Against the Machine song from the end of The Matrix is playing,
yeah,
you know, it's like, yes,
yeah.
You can't help it. Anyway, and then it's a lovely finish in Brighton. It was lovely sharing it on the podcast. Brilliant the way, incredibly supportive, but kind of also, it's still a smaller community, so loads of individuals, you know?
Yeah.
So London's great, you know, we've been there, come out of Blackfriars, and those crowds are going to pull you in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in Brighton, they're dotted and, you know, kind of feels like every, this is not statistically accurate, but it feels like every sixth person is someone you know. It's like, hey there.
Yeah.
Running commentary, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Someone I totally wasn't expecting to see who runs half marathons, did the tech on my show in Edinburgh once. Oh, hi!
Yeah.
You know, Julia, just brilliant. It was really wonderful. So, yeah,
you had a great time, sounds like.
And I was thinking,
great, tough time.
Literally planning London around the 24, 25 mile mark, which is either absolute madness or a very good sign, or possibly both.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So when is London?
It's a week and a half.
Right.
So I'm in that. We talked last
time.
You're in
a kind of holding phase.
Yeah, and there's a kind of bump where the recovery run becomes the taper. Thanks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you would say, I only did a couple of runs last week. But of course, it all began with the marathon.
Yeah.
So last week was 35, 36 miles.
Yeah.
This week, I'm just quietly getting myself 25. I might put some hills in. This is a little bit hilly, but I might go and go up and down my hill in Springfield Park a few times just to remind myself that I can. And then I'll be
tapering
and carb loading again.
Yeah.
Although, say I've been on holiday and I've been putting away the lager, so I should
was there a
that.
Bit of one thing I did in Australia, New Zealand, we had 12, 13 days of no booze, no bread.
Yeah.
Which felt great, actually.
Yeah.
It felt so good. Because we just sort of both decided to focus on work and stuff.
I can imagine that would feel good.
Yeah. It did feel great. But I've made up for it since.
Oh, this person's stretching. I literally thought someone prostrate on the ground there. Oh, yeah. I literally thought they'd collapsed, but they were just doing their exercises. Thank goodness.
So was there a bit of boozing in Scotland?
Oh, I think there might have been a day since Brighton when I haven't drunk.
Right.
But I can't remember when it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel good. It is. I'm literally on that moment now where I'm just matching. It's like Steve matching our two sound files with the clap. I know I'm recovering. I know I'm coming in for London. I start to get the emails about what happens on the start line and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And at one level, I know that's what's happening. But another level, it's just a little crunch of the gears.
Yeah.
To move my focus forward, because you know I'm still in a bit of a Brighton bubble.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But the good thing is, I'm worried about it. You know, I'm not going to be blasé. This London's got to be good. The challenge I set myself, and this time goes right back to what we were saying about your gigs, your arena gigs, and Steve Martin, is well done for Brighton. Do it again.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at first, my first thought was, oh, I should do it like this next time, only faster. It's like, no, none of this only faster.
Just do it the same.
Yeah, put it this way. If you do it the same, possibly you'll come out a couple of seconds faster.
Yeah.
Don't try for it. That would change everything.
Yeah.
You're basically looking for a 3:55 marathon.
Yeah.
And you're basing it on the podcast model, whatever that might mean. But so that's my plan. And the other clear thought I had is two things, actually. One, I still would like to run fast marathon in the autumn.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm working back to how I managed to get back under 3:30 last autumn, you know.
Right.
But everything, any marathon at any pace I do from here on in, I have to be better. The discipline of this model is the way forward. Every marathon comes after Brighton.
Right.
You know?
So that means what?
It means knowing exactly what time you want to run it in, knowing you're fit enough to do it, setting off at the right pace, and holding.
Right. Yeah.
That all sounds quite straightforward, doesn't it?
But none of
that. But I think until
none of that historical setting off too fast palaver.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that I was doing that. I think that I was accessing some of this sense in York. Because they were really quite similar runs, even though York was a lot faster in terms of how it related to pacing and stuff. And I think it's actually clarity of mind from the Race of the Stones. I just threw it away a bit in New York, you know. But anyway, so even if I want to go run my fastest marathon in years in the autumn, I've still got to work towards it on the same model. A model not only goes back to Brighton and York and Race of the Stones, but goes right back to what you've just been saying about just getting the miles in, getting the distance, you know.
Yeah.
Basically building this really strong working model, model of running along, just running along, hoovering up miles, bop, bop, bop. And then if you want those miles to go faster, you have to, with complete foundation and clarity, just turn the dial up a little bit.
Just crank it up a bit, yeah.
So.
And did you take your part run easy?
Nah.
Right.
Nah, I ran as fast as I could.
Right. Okay. So that's going to tire you a bit.
Yeah, and I felt it. I felt the...
You felt your legs a bit.
Yeah. There was some discussion of this, actually, because people are talking about doing Highbury before London, because it's the nearest one to some places to stay. And that led to a discussion
day before London?
Of whether doing a part run the day before a marathon is wise. And I was saying, I said, on our behalf, you know, I'm not sure if that's wise. I didn't say it isn't, and I didn't, but lots of people say, it's funny, because on the one hand...
Depends what you want.
Yeah, and also people are like, oh, it's easy, you just do it slower. And it's like, well, one, that's not easy.
No.
I've literally, you know, like I was thinking, if I wanted to do parkrun like a minute, a mile slower, we have to record it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is, the discussion of how you do it and how easy it is all based on this idea that you have to do it.
Yeah,
I would reiterate the idea that you can also just not do it.
I mean,
certainly didn't hurt in Brighton.
I'll go so far as to say, you're better off not doing it.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a day before a big race.
Yeah.
You'd only want to do like 1-2 miles maximum the day before anyway, just as a loosener. You're deep in your tapering.
You've got to go through... And then someone said, Peter in Liverpool saying, "What exactly? What I hadn't even thought, but it's exactly right. The other thing is, it's like a superstition thing. It's like, what if you fall over?
What if
you lose your headphones?
But it's also a bit of mental energy. Even if you decide to run it a bit slower, you're still running and competing with and in amongst people the day before something you've been training for a few months.
That's right.
It just feels also a bit unnecessary.
Sometimes it depends what you're
do
after.
Do what you want, obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
It's your journey. I mean, one of the people said I did it a minute a mile slower and then got my PB. Yeah. I mean, if you do that, you're going to want to do a parkrun before every marathon you do after that.
Yeah.
And that's valid. Yeah. But on the other hand, there are things that people do that possibly they don't need to. You know, it's like serious... In New York, watching people doing really serious warmy-uppy stuff like 2 hours before it starts when they're going to be running slow or walk running the whole thing, doing like long sideways sprints and scout runs and stuff in the pitch. So don't bother. You warm up when you're out there. Unless that's your journey, in which case, good luck. But make sure it's something that's necessary rather than something you feel that you maybe ought to do. Yeah. Particularly with the good habit of parkrun. Because, of course, it's a great habit going to parkrun.
Yeah, parkrun's a great, obviously.
But the rule, this could be the exception that proves the rule. I literally woke up on Saturday really early, went back to sleep. And when I woke up, this is Saturday a week ago, I looked at the clock and it was 10 to 10.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I missed parkrun.
Yeah.
And it was great.
I
loved it. I felt sad that I'd missed it.
Felt refreshed.
I love Hoofpond Parkrun.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was there. I was there the next day.
Yeah.
For goodness sake. Anyway, I won't be at Highbury the day before London Marathon. And I would think twice. Just think about what you want from it, if that is what
you're doing. Of course. If you don't want to do your absolute best effort, then fine. But if you do... I won't bother.
Seriously. And also with various injuries and comebacks and phases of running in recent months, I've actually come to the conclusion, I always run parkrun flat out.
Yeah.
There'll be different levels of tiredness and fitness that mean that they will result in different times. But I've never done the only time I've gone to parkrun and not run as fast as I could that day
is
when we tail walked it.
Yeah.
Even when we recorded it, we were running fast.
And even if you...
And I like that. I like the way parkrun triggers my mind into going, right, here we go.
And even if you run it a minute a mile slower than you normally do, that's still way faster than easy training paths.
Oh, absolutely. So, that's the discussion there. And we're going to... There'll be some disagreements. Like we say, if your journey's different,
you can do what you
like. But it's interesting, isn't it? But I did think this, and this is an interesting one to start. I'd like to talk to you more about London, but of course we've got next week, so that's okay. But I think, on the one hand, it's slightly ridiculous, my 200-minute man quest.
Yeah.
It's in October, so it's okay to just sit it there like that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, two things. One... I did 210-minute. I got back under 3.5 for the first time in years.
Yes.
So that's not nothing. Let's not forget that.
No, it's not. No.
And two, this is the thing. This is the clear thought I had. I said to myself, if you want to make that a realistic quest, you have to get your parkrun back under 20 minutes. If I can get my parkrun back under 20 minutes, then I can run a marathon in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
And also... get your half marathon time down.
Or yeah, that's
interesting. Maybe do a like, try and do a like 1:35 hour marathon.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good one. I hadn't thought about that, but it's making all those links.
Because
once I've done Brecon, all of this is totally speculative at the moment. Mm. I'm literally not allowed to put this training into practice until I come back from the Brecon Beacons.
Yeah.
So it's a safe space for discussing it. But exactly. I'd spend the summer working on speed, 5K, 10K. Got the Great North Run in September, but I could get another half in before then. And just basically, if I can, just psychologically... If I can show myself that I can make a comparable pace with my younger self over shorter distances, then I can do it over long distances.
Hold. Yeah.
There's logic to that.
Interesting.
There is logic.
Of course, no, there's logic. There's logic. But I'd say that your half marathon time is more indicative of ability to run a fairly swift marathon than a 5K.
Yeah. I hear that. I'm just going to take a photo of these beautiful blue flowers. Look at these.
Bluebells.
Yes. No, they're
blue
not.
Bells.
They're not bluebells. Stop saying bluebells. Here he is.
Running commentary.
concern that Rob Deering.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.